You're listening to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by the team at Food Matters. Welcome to Table Talk, a guide to the future of food and nutrition, brought to you by Food Matters. And this episode has been made in association with BioCell. In these podcasts, we chat with visionaries from across the food industry to discover the ideas that will transform our food landscape. I'm Stefan Gates. I'm a food science writer, I'm a TV presenter, and I'm a gastronaut. Today, we're going to look at the growing consumer demand for supplements, and one supplement in particular. We've called today's edition The Power of Collagen, because this ingredient is outstripping so many others as the supplements industry rapidly expands. The range of collagen derivatives used in sports gels, cosmetics, diet supplements, and other products which feature in our lives is incredible. It's not just Kourtney Kardashian who likes to start the day with a hot collagen drink, so I'm told. So what is it about collagen that's getting people excited? And are those collagen-based supplements that people are buying, well, are they actually going to work? That's a big question, because the supplement space is very lightly regulated in many parts of the world, and some health claims on collagen products are pretty extraordinary. But I'm joined by three people perfectly placed to guide us through the collagen maze. First of all, we've got Suhail Isak, President, BioCell Technology LLC. Hello there, Suhail.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us. We've got Nathan Gray, Science and Technology Director at the Collagen Stewardship Alliance. Hello, Nathan.
Hi there.
And we've got Rowena Thompson, Nutrition Science Communications Manager, the Bountiful Company at Solgar International. Hello there, Rowena.
Hello.
So, first of all, Suhail, before we really dive into the nuts and bolts of this, can you introduce us briefly to the work that you do at BioCell?
Sure. Thank you, Stefan. So, BioCell Technology, we were founded in 1997. We're in the business of supplying and distributing innovative ingredients that have applications in health and beauty. And I've been with the company since 1997, the early days, and I lead our teams with respect to sales and global marketing strategy, business development, research and development, and licensing activities. I was instrumental in developing our flagship branded ingredient, BioCell Collagen. It's a niche ingredient in the diverse collagen space with several patents relating to our technology. And as you mentioned earlier, it's common misnomers. Collagen is an ingredient. It's more of a category, as you alluded to, and BioCell Collagen is a branded ingredient, so it's much more than just isolated or purified collagen. It's actually a clinically studied ingredient composed of naturally occurring hydrolyzed collagen type 2 peptides, chondroitin sulfate, and hyaluronic acid, and these molecules are components of the extracellular matrix.
Okay, now Nathan, collagen is huge news in the supplements industry. There are so many different stories around in the media about this growth. What do you think it is about this moment in time? Why now? What's prompted this uptick? Why is everyone going crazy for collagen?
It's a great question, Stefan. I think that, we've really seen a rapid growth of collagen in the last two or three years in particular. And part of that's been driven by sort of an ever-rising demand for holistic wellness and holistic beauty. And of course, the pandemic and self-care and things like that are really playing into part of that, and I'm sure Rowena probably wants to sort of chip in with some of her thoughts on that as well. But certainly one thing that I think has really been driving it as well is that we see collagen playing a much bigger role in, let's say, different categories to that where it's played in the last 10 years before that. So I'm thinking into things like keto convenience products and into sports and active nutrition and things like that, where we've really seen collagen start to take off in the last few years, and that's really helped to sort of boost that growth as these things become trendy, specifically with things like the keto diets, but also let's look at sports nutrition, for example, and people have always wanted sort of that protein hit when they're thinking about sports and active, but we're seeing more and more people steer away from whey and other proteins that have sort of more traditionally made up that protein market. And recently that's been coupled with price increases for whey protein. It's gone up, I think, almost 100%, almost doubled in price in the last 6 to 12 months. So all of this is putting pressure on brands, both from a margin point of view, but also from a consumer demand point of view, to innovate and do something interesting with their formulations. And collagen has really started to fit that bill and sits in a really nice place where brands are starting to look at it and think, actually, collagen can make a lot of sense here, whereas, they've been using whey in the past, for example.
So it's connected to huge growth in sort of tangential sectors as well. So what about you, Rowena? Why do you think now is such an explosive time for this industry?
Well, I absolutely agree with Nathan and what he said. So I'm going to give you Solgar perspective because obviously that's the industry that I work in. And we predominantly work in with collagen and beauty, although I agree with Nathan, there's huge scope to branch out and do other things. But
I steered away from beauty for this reason.
Thank you. My regulatory department's also super happy about that, Nathan. So at the moment, as Nathan said, self-care is huge. We've been in lockdown for a long time. A lot of people are actually using self-care and indulgence routines to actually counteract sort of the uncertainties they feel in the world. And a lot of these include things like home pampering routines, exercise regimes and things like that. And I think collagen really fits really nicely into that space. Something that consumers, you know, can understand, and on top of putting things on their skin, consumers really do understand that beauty comes from within. So there's definitely a drive to start taking nutrients and things like collagen to support that. And then, of course, healthy aging is a huge interest for consumers. So it's no longer really about stopping the aging process. It's just sort of promoting the best part of yourself, really, as we get older. I might be a bit biased here as I get older myself, but, you know, we still feel young, we still feel vital, we still want to be able to do all those things that we used to do. And of course, we still want to look gorgeous while we do that. So I think for a lot of consumers, they really understand collagen in terms of supporting sort of graceful, healthy aging. And so that's part of that as well. And then also, regardless of age, a lot of consumers are actually looking for really natural-looking, radiant, healthy skin. So there's this huge drive to pare back on things like makeup, to let one's healthy glow show. And of course, we're not going to not wear makeup if our skin isn't looking fabulous. So I think that really is part of that as well. And of course, like I said before, this is really coupled with the consumer's understanding that we need good nutrition to support beauty from within. So as a supplement company, we're really noticing that collagen supplements are being taken not just by women, but by men too, definitely. But our biggest sort of consumer of that would be women sort of 45 plus, I guess, because we are in that beauty space. So those are the things that we've been noticing from our perspective.
And are consumers going for particular things, particular products within that sort of subcategory?
So I think one of the things that we really see that consumers are looking for is they really want science-backed ingredients. You know, there's a lot of collagen on the market, but I think some consumers are a little bit skeptical, or I hope some consumers are a little bit skeptical about what they purchase, in all honesty. But what we have actually seen is that consumers who buy collagen supplements are still looking for very particular things that they would be looking for in other categories too. So some of those things include sustainability, which is quite a tricky thing for us to do in terms of collagen. But of course, animal welfare and things like that become particularly important to consumers as well. So we're definitely seeing consumers who are buying collagen asking these kinds of questions about the collagen supplements they're taking. So it's not so much about, well, what I've experienced at this point in time is not so much about what the different products are necessarily, but also what those sort of products represent to consumers. Are they ticking all the boxes for consumers in terms of what they want?
I think that's an excellent point, you know, you brought up. And the trend is really spurted by healthy living in general. And the growth in the collagen category really reflects that lifestyle choices people are making, you know, not only in nutrition, but also diet, exercise. And these trends, I don't think they're going to slow down, especially with the aging population. And as we understand science as it relates to nutrition and our bodies, I don't think it's going to slow down. And, you know, people, this is generally true, and I think the pandemic has magnified that, is that people who take charge of their health tend to live healthier, happier, and longer lives. So it's about, you know, the consumers realizing and taking that power in their own control, and, you know, wanting to stay out of the doctor's office as much as possible. So I think it's just a really positive trend, and it's just great to see people more in tune with their health and wanting to be the best versions of themselves.
And as you say, I think that the pandemic has made people much more aware of things that maybe weren't quite as important to them before, because they've been given a moment in time to really reflect a bit about themselves. Now, Nathan, what about about consumers and their knowledge of collagen and knowledge about collagen? Do you think that they really know what it's about, how it works, what it is?
I think it's really quite mixed, and I think that there's, as the other guests have alluded to, there's a lot of misinformation out there as well. But one of the things that the Collagen Stewardship Alliance does is provide some quite deep level insights into things like consumer knowledge and purchase habits and consumer demographics for collagen and things like that. So I don't worry, I'm not going to just quote lots of figures at you here.
I like a few figures. No. Don't hold back.
But one of the things that you know we can do is start to tease out, you know, who's using collagen, why they, what they're using collagen for, and also how much people actually know collagen as an ingredient and understand it. So one of the things that we've got is something called an ingredient knowledge index, and that sort of benchmarks consumer knowledge generally about any different ingredients. And we can see that from our latest data set that collagen's right around the middle there. So it's around other popular trendy ingredients like prebiotic fibers and curcumin and things like that. But it's actually well behind things like multivitamins and calcium and vitamin D and probiotics and things like that. So You can see that it's clearly quite trendy and people do know what collagen is, but actually there's a lot of room for growth and education amongst the consumer base.
Yeah, very good point. Consumers, being humans, you know, we all have the tendency to simplify complex subject matter, and consumers often overgeneralize collagen, not really realizing the diversity amongst the various products in the category, let alone the complexity of the and role and function of different types of collagen in the human body. As I said earlier, collagen is not a single chemical ingredient like, say, vitamin C, ascorbic acid. Various different ingredients can be engineered from collagen sources, making it very versatile industrially. And at BioCell, we launched a marketing campaign under the banner of Not All Collagens Are Alike to educate the trade about what differentiates BioCell collagen from other ingredients in the category using a science-driven approach. So, I'm really excited to see just in general the category really pushing innovation and creating more products and really investing in the science. And, you know, our understanding of this space has progressed so much in the last 20 years, and I'm really excited about the future of this category.
So can you talk a little bit about collagen as a protein and why does it have such a broad range of uses? What is it? What is the stuff and what makes it so flexible?
Sure. So, I mean, collagen, first of all, has so many unique properties, you know, that lend itself well for many applications that extend far beyond nutrition. Collagen-based products and their derivatives, as you said earlier, a lot of people don't know, but gelatin is produced from collagen as well, and it has gelling properties because it's not nearly as hydrolyzed as much as, per se, for example, the hydrolyzed collagen ingredient. So when you put it into water, it has a gelling effect. And, you know, those things, the diversity, again, collagen, so many different products can be engineered from it. So different properties can impact collagen nutritionally, factors such as type, source, molecular composition, molecular weight, and manufacturing process. And it's also interesting to note, collagen and their derivatives are used in other applications like medical devices, drug delivery system, tissue engineering, biofilms, and even photography film. Those Polaroid films, they use collagen in part of the process to produce them. Just an interesting side note.
One of the things I love about it is I once did a little bit of investigation into field dressings for battle use, and collagen that you basically metabolize. So you put it on a wound and you metabolize it. I mean, absolutely extraordinary. But there are also lots of different sources and types of collagen. So as you mentioned, and there are different, you know, there's marine collagen, bovine collagen, vegan collagen. Can you talk a little bit about these different materials that are available in the nutraceutical industry, how they differ, and why you would choose one above the other?
Sure, yeah. So I guess the first thing to do, and it's sort of been alluded to quite a bit already, is we've really got to make it quite clear that animal collagen is absolutely an animal protein. There isn't any natural source of vegan or plant-based collagen. And I'll come back to that in a moment, because I'm sure Rowena and Sahil probably want to chip in on that as well. But to answer the first part of your question, yes, collagen is found in supplements and health products, and that can come from a variety of sources. It can come in lots of different forms, like you say, bovine, chicken, marine collagen. And so these come from breaking down the collagen that's naturally in these animals and sort of using them within supplements, for example. There are at least 28 different types of collagen. Probably the ones that most people would have heard of are type 1, 2, and 3, and they're really the main ones to worry about. But a lot of companies out there are now claiming to contain up to 10 different types of collagen peptides, for example. So it is starting to expand. And actually, that is probably another interesting point that I should probably make, is about collagen peptides and the difference there, because people talk about collagen protein, collagen peptides, and all of these sort of things. So collagen protein is the long protein that's within our bodies, and collagen peptides is the short versions of that broken down protein that we have in foods and supplements. So when we eat foods and supplements, usually that you'll get what's called collagen peptides or hydrolyzed collagen. They're two words for essentially the same thing, so it doesn't really matter which one you see on the label. And then collagen protein is the much bigger structural proteins that we actually have in our bodies and in the bodies of animals. And somewhere in the middle you have gelatin, which is sort of a halfway house, and that's used in all sorts of cakes and things like that.
It's all over the place, isn't it? Gelatin gets into so many different products.
It absolutely does, yeah.
And Rowena, and do you want to talk a little bit about other types of collagen and what they're appropriate for?
So, well, I don't really operate in the other types of collagen space, to tell you the truth. But obviously, one of the things that I think Nathan made a really important point about, so I'm not sure if this is going to answer your question, but something that I'm really passionate about as somebody in the supplement industry is that Nathan was talking about different forms and types of collagen. And I really love that you brought that up, Nathan, because I think that is really something that consumers don't, although they might be buying into it now, it's really something that consumers don't understand very well.
Absolutely.
And I mean, there's so many different types. I mean, in terms of that, Stefan, that like we get undenatured collagen, we get collagen peptides. People talk about raw collagen. There's even, you know, I think it's sort of died down now, but, you know, a few years ago, there was this whole sort of drive towards people making their own bone broth, because that was a kind of a collagen that people wanted. And, you know, so there's all of that. And consumers are taking all this information in. And unfortunately, as we alluded to earlier, there is unfortunately a lot of misinformation. So people don't always know which type of collagen they should be taking for what. And, you know, for me, that's a huge opportunity from an industry point of view, whether it's collagen per se or as a company that makes collagen products. You know, there's this, we really need to drive that education in consumers. If you take type one, it's for a specific purpose. If you do two or three, they're going to make differences to the outcomes somebody might be expecting. So I think it's really an opportunity to create some sort of transparency as an industry and to create some really good education around collagen, you know. So obviously it's taken up hugely at the moment. Everybody wants collagen, but I do think there is an opportunity for people to understand those different types that I said, like peptides versus collagen protein and that sort of thing, as Nathan was saying.
One of the other things that I'm going to very quickly chip in on as well, if that's okay, is building on that misinformation is the whole concept of vegan and plant-based collagen. Because I right at the top, we mentioned that, you know, collagen is an animal protein. But if you go down and look at the shelves in any supermarket or health store, you will see supplement tubs and pill packets and things that all say vegan collagen or plant-based collagen on them. And for the most part, that is really misinformation. There are some biotechs that are sort of coming online right now, for example, Gelta in the US, who are looking at making a truly vegan source of collagen, which would be bioidentical to the animal source, but from a non-animal source. So very similar to the sorts of things that you're seeing in sort of the alternative meat space and sort of alternative dairy space. But that's not really on the market yet. And so I'd guarantee pretty much that anything that you see labeled as plant collagen at the minute is actually what we'd call a collagen booster. It doesn't contain any collagen itself, but it contains things like vitamin C or certain botanicals. And these can help you naturally boost your collagen levels, you know, but they don't actually contain any collagen in them. Mm-hmm. And this is a huge problem that we see in sort of misinformation and mismarketing almost. And you know, it's one area that we'd really like to sort of clear up in terms of consumer confusion.
I bet. Yeah, sounds cheeky, I have to say.
A little bit cheeky, yeah. And, you know, all it takes is putting sort of the word booster on there as well, from my perspective, yeah. You know, and making it quite clear. And we're not saying that they don't work or they won't help you sort of form more collagen. But yeah, it is a little bit cheeky to be calling them collagen, or at worst, you know, illegal. But that's...
yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's put that aside for a second. And Suhail, can you tell us what do you feel gives you at BioCell an advantage amongst all the competition? Because as you've all said, it's a much, much, you know, bigger sector than it used to be. What makes you special?
Sure, thanks. So people say proof is in the pudding, and no pun intended, because, you know, pudding contains gelatin, which is made from collagen. But I like to say proof is in the results, you know. Have you proven the ingredient in research studies, and is it effective? And BioCell collagen has a huge advantage because we have various, various studies that prove its efficacy, including 7 human clinical trials. That not only substantiate the efficacy, but also safety and bioavailability. And we have evidence for the claims. And I think that goes to the power of the branded ingredient model, because it helps consumers identify a specific product as opposed to all of this guesswork, knowing that there's so much complexity and different types of products. And as a consumer, you know, if a product is just labeled as collagen, you have no idea, you know, is it, you know, what's the molecular weight? What's the source? All of those things are kind of question marks. So, you know, with BioCell collagen, I mean, I think the element of consumer confidence and trust is there. You know, we're really honored to have Solgar on this call, who's a tremendous brand with a great reputation. And they've had BioCell collagen in a product called Solgar Collagen Hyaluronic Acid for more than 15 years. And it's still a top-selling product, which speaks volumes about the consumer acceptance and confidence. And, you know, since the more than 20 years that we've been in business, our ingredients have been consumed by millions. And it's also unique and differentiated. As I mentioned, the molecular composition is not just collagen alone, but it also rich in glycosaminoglycans, chondroitin sulfate, and hyaluronic acid, which each, even individually, have many applications and interesting properties that make the ingredient very effective. Also, quality and regulatory compliance. You know, we all know that sustainability is important, and we take great pride in that. And we have registrations in several countries throughout the world, including Health Canada, which has a more upfront vetting process when it comes to these ingredients. And we have really powerful claims for reduction of wrinkles and improvement in skin elasticity based on 1 gram of BioCell collagen daily.
So there's a huge range of different issues then you've got there. But okay, let's get back to the biology again. So Rowena, you've mentioned how collagen is part of our body already. So how does it work? How does consuming collagen increase the level of collagen in our bodies? How do we metabolize this stuff, and what happens to it?
Okay, so we have some other scientists on the call. So if Nathan and Suhail want to chip in at any point, please do as well. But of course, research shows that collagen actually has the ability to stimulate the body's own collagen production. And it does this in two ways. So firstly, hydrolyzed collagen actually provides amino acids. So Nathan was talking about those earlier as well. So things like lysine, proline, and glycine, that are the building blocks for collagen. And also for elastin, of course. And then secondly, collagen actually helps to bind to receptors on fibroblasts. So fibroblasts are these really specialized skin cells that actually make collagen. So we know that collagen peptides have that ability sort of to trigger collagen production within the skin. And of course, BioCell has some amazing studies about that. As Suhail mentioned earlier, we have a very recent study that was conducted using, not we, as in the world has a very nice study. in 2019, there was a randomized double-blind placebo-controlled study. I mean, you can't get much better than that using Biocell collagen. And in the women who took the product, it was conducted in women over a 12-week period, Biocell collagen was actually shown to increase skin collagen content by 12%. So coming back to Suhail's point, I really think there is so much collagen out there, but we do need collagen products that we have the clinical and scientific evidence to show that the product is effective and safe. And one of the lovely things about Biocell collagen as well, from my perspective, is it's a low dose efficacy. So 1,000 milligrams a day is all you need. Suhail didn't really mention this earlier, but if you look at a lot of other raw collagen or, you know, raw material supply of collagen, the dose to be effective is really, really high. So it is one of the advantages that we have with a Biocell collagen. It's great for product development as well, because we can use less and still have a really effective product. So from a convenience and capsule size and all of those sort of things, really advantageous. So yes, collagen definitely does sort of stimulate the body's own collagen production. I'm not sure, Nathan or Suhail, if you'd like to add anything to what I've said there.
That was great, Romina. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's just fascinating to me as we, you know, study the ingredient and try to understand even the mechanisms of action and whatnot, and which, as you know, in pharmacology and whatnot, is one of the most difficult things. But you know, we know that these molecules are bioactive, and you know, it used to be that we thought a protein is just a protein, and they're all just digested into amino acids and whatnot. And we're learning that there are like biologically active peptides that also play a role in how it works and whatnot. But ultimately, consumers just want to know that, is the product safe, and they have confidence in it. Nathan, I know you were going to say something. So,
I guess the only thing that I'd add is the way I like to think of the collagen sort of balance in our body is sort of, I see it almost as like some scales or a seesaw or something, where you've got, we're always making collagen, but our bodies are always sort of breaking it down at the same time. And when we're much younger, we're producing it much quicker than we break it down. So our skin looks lovely and youthful, and our bones and joints are in great shape. But unfortunately, as we age, sort of that production slows down, and the way our body breaks it down speeds up, which is really, really unfortunate. So that scale sort of starts to tip in the other direction. And we can address sort of the collagen balance on both sides. So by taking collagen itself, or taking some of those collagen boosters I mentioned earlier, you can encourage collagen formation. But also you can do certain things that will lower degradation. We know, for example, that smoking and you know, sunbathing for a long time and things like that will increase the collagen degradation, which is why people get wrinklier when they smoke a lot and things like that. But there's also you know, some great science out there for ways that we can decrease the degradation and increase the production. So this is sort of really where we're getting at, is what we're trying to do is shift that balance back in the right direction. And collagen and the collagen boosters that we've been talking about do that.
And Nathan, relating to that, was an awesome point you made. UV exposure, sunlight exposure, is absolutely one of the worst thing that's on the skin. And, you know, science has known that for decades. That's why sunblocks are so huge. And every dermatologist is going to recommend you wear sunblock, because without any doubt, UV has a destructive effect on the connective tissues in the skin, especially collagen. You know, it's interesting, but there was a study that was done on Biocell collagen that was published in the Journal of Functional Foods. And the model that was used was extremely fascinating, because in the lab experiment, the subjects were divided into four groups, and each group received UVB exposure, and with a couple of the groups receiving Biocell collagen supplementation in addition to the UV exposure. And so UVB was used as like a control mechanism, so you could measure differences in the skin. And the groups that received Biocell collagen had a better outcome in terms of improvement in skin elasticity, and actually slow down this degradation process that you were talking about, Nathan. So, yeah, I mean, this is the stuff that really gets me super excited when you see the science, you know, on this.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that, because on this podcast, we've often talked about health claims. And if you go to our website at foodmatterslive.com, there are many editions where we really dig down into food health claims. Can you talk a little bit about some of the health claims and the health benefits that collagen can make and collagen can bring?
Sure, I'll be happy to speak about like bile cell collagen, because the claims I'm about to tell you are substantiated by clinical studies and scientific evidence. In the United States, dietary supplements that contain a dosage of 2 grams of bile cell collagen can support, promotes joint comfort and mobility, promotes cartilage health, promotes synovial fluid, which is the fluid in our joints that basically lubricates our joints, and also boosts hyaluronic acid. Also, we can support, based on a 1 gram daily dosage of bile cell collagen, a reduction in facial lines and wrinkles, reduction in crow's feet, improvement in skin elasticity, reduction in skin dryness, and a boost in collagen and hyaluronic acid. And in the United States, there's a gold standard, which is basically the claims have to be substantiated by 2 human clinical trials, and we meet that standard. So I'm happy to report that. Nathan, do you have any thoughts on this?
I guess it really depends on what you're talking about when you talk about health claims, especially in the European and UK context, because obviously the regulations on health claims that can be made on foods and supplements is regulated by EFSA for the majority of Europe. We're still waiting to see exactly how it's going to work in the UK in a post-Brexit world. But yeah, the situation is a little bit different because of that. But, you know, that doesn't mean that the science is not there. It just means that there's a lot of research that is happening. Certainly, Sahil's alluded to a lot of it already. But, I mean, we can definitely talk about, you know, some of the benefits on skin and beauty. Again, they're actually not covered by health claims because they're a beauty claim. So it's a different regulatory environment. So you will see claims on packaging, for example, for those. And there is some great science looking at skin health and elasticity and reduction of wrinkles and things like that. There's also bone and joint health studies and things relating to muscle pain, for example. And, you know, some research going as far back as the early 90s, looking at collagen supplementation and reduced symptoms of things like arthritis. Unfortunately, the regulatory environment in Europe, at least, means that it's difficult to get those sort of claims on pack. you know, and we see that in all sorts of categories in the food and nutrition space. So I'm sure everyone's familiar with what I'm alluding to there.
And a lot of these products are classified as nutraceuticals, which is a very tightly regulated area. Would you say that there are products claiming things which are actually quite hard to believe?
Yes, in a word, yes. You know, I think that in any area, you're always going to have sort of that battle between sort of the good actors and the bad actors, and responsible companies versus those who are irresponsible. It's fair to say that for a number of years, the marketing has been ahead of the science in the collagen category.
Very politely put, I like that.
Yeah, thanks. You know, and I think that one of the things is that people got very excited about collagen and sort of the whole Nutri-Beauty and Beauty From Within category, probably in the mid-2000s and sort of around 2010. And actually, there was some really great science then, but there wasn't enough of it, I'd say. But there was a lot of hype and a lot of people promising a lot. I think what's happened in the last 10 years since then is that the science has started to catch up. The buzz died down for a while. It's coming back around now, which is great. But alongside that, we're seeing that because it's such a trendy area, and we see this again right throughout food and nutrition, as things become trendy, as things become a really high growth category, you get a lot of people rushing in, trying to take advantage of that almost. It becomes a bit of a Wild West. And people are trying to exploit it. And so what we try and do as the Collagen Stewardship Alliance is try and steward that growth more responsibly, try and reward the companies that have got the good science and the quality controls, and try and call out the bad actors. Because it's really not fair that everyone is tarred with that same brush. But as I say, in any of these boom categories, you are unfortunately going to get cowboys acting, and you know, we've got to work together to stamp them out, because collagen does have a bright future, and there's some great science there, but unfortunately as you alluded to, there are also a lot of people making really quite wild claims, and they need to be stopped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very well said, Nathan. And I agree with you 100%. And it's really great the work that, you know, you're doing at the College and Stewardship Alliance and the group there. And, you know, we're also a member of the CRN, the Council of Responsible Nutrition, because, you know, stewardship in this category is going to be very important because, as I say, if you don't self-govern, then someone else will govern you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's really important that, you know, companies shape up and really do the right thing. But I'm confident, and I know that the industry has done a great job and will continue to stewardship this category.
Well, it's clearly a huge growth area. So my last question really, and this is one for everyone to answer, is what do you see for the future? How do you see the market maturing? What do you see happening? What's out on the horizon? Rowena, if you can start for us.
Okay, well, the thing that I really see consumers looking for and how I see the market maturing is that there's definitely a drive towards personalized nutrition. I'm not sure if consumers understand exactly what that means, but there is definitely a drive towards that. And of course, consumers really want something that's tailored to their specific needs. So I think it's really critical, though, that as we go forward with that, you know, we've got these brilliant collagen products that are science-backed, like BioCell, you know, that can not only give consumers what they want in terms of personalized nutrition, but, you know, we know that the research behind them is really robust and we can provide really effective products for people as well. One of the other ways that I also see this maturing is not so much in terms of product, but how we communicate with our consumers about collagen. And I think probably lockdowns throughout the world have helped us here, believe it or not, but consumers are much more familiar with technology right now. And so there's definitely a drive to monitor health and well-being with tech. Mm. So I think we'll start seeing people, if we engage our consumers with technology, maybe apps, things like that, that they could use to help them maybe monitor the amount of sun that they're being exposed to in a day, things like that, that can create sort of an awareness for consumers. I think that would be something that we'll see happening going forward. And of course, hopefully there's, you know, part of that as well is with technology, we can also sort of take that further and give customers the convenience that they desire, and as well as still giving them a customizable experience as well using that technology. So those are the two things that I think going forward, we'll start to see more of.
Okay. And Nathan, what's your view of the future for the collagen sector?
I think it's really exciting in general. I think we're going to see it break out of the sort of traditional niches that we've seen. And one of the things that I always encourage people to do is sort of almost, you know, do that traditional detective thing and sort of follow the money and see who's putting money into collagen, where it's going and what's happening. And you'll see that there's a whole sort of raft of investors looking at biotech solutions in collagen and along that plant-based solution that I was talking about. We saw Geltor, who I mentioned earlier, I think they raised 90 million last year or the year before, which is a huge amount for the nutrition industry. We've also seen loads of M&A activity and acquisitions focused around collagen, particularly into the more food and beverage side, but also into supplements. We've seen Nestle acquire Vital Proteins, obviously, a couple of years, a year or two ago now, and recently actually acquire the Solgar brands as well. So, you know, it's, you know, all one big happy family now, I guess. And, but you know, when you start to see the biggest companies in the world like Nestle making multiple acquisitions in a category like that, you know, that there's some real traction there. Yeah. So I think that's a really big sign.
Okay. And the last word goes to Sahil. What do you see that the future holds for BioCell?
Sure. So collagen being such a broad molecule class, I think is going to continue to flourish into the future as companies continue to invest more in research and development activities, aside from even nutrition, but even when we look at like topical cosmetics and even medical devices and biofilms and tissue engineering and whatnot, I think there's just so much headspace for growth. And yeah, I'm just excited about this category in general and the research and development activities that we're seeing and investments that are being made. So, you know, we're going to, as a company, and that's very much part of our ethos, is continuing to invest and elucidating more about this wonderful ingredient and evolve our understanding of how it works.
Okay, well, Suhail Isaac, Nathan Gray, and Rowena Thompson, thank you so much for talking to us. You've been listening to the Tabletop Podcast, brought to you by Food Matters, and this episode has been made in association with BioCell. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd point you towards some of our other podcasts in which we explore pretty much every aspect of the food industry, from food security to the plant-based revolution. Recent highlights include editions on the government's obesity strategy and the potential for insect protein. Follow us to get every episode freshly delivered to you on Apple, Spotify, Google, or your preferred podcasting platform. And to find out more, take a look at foodmatterslive.com. Thank you so much for listening.